Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
To go with the discussion later this hour, we're asking you, how do you read? Is it plasma, screen preference for you, Kindle, that sort of thing? Or is it paper, a real book? On paper, since we're speaking of paper, the United States has been slowly making its way out of recession. If you look at the numbers this year, the unemployment rate fell to 6.1%. More than a million new jobs have been added. A new census report out this week also seems to confirm that this nation's personal income is stagnant, and 45.3 million people living below the poverty line may be settling in to something like a permanent feature of the U.S. economy. Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington, former chief economist to Vice President Biden. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me on.
So if you were advising Vice President Biden on this poverty number, what would you say? Is it a permanent feature? Do we have to accept this right now?
No, I actually view such high rates of poverty in this country, and you're talking about the overall rate, which was 14.5% last year. But of course, if you look at rates for more disadvantaged communities or by race or ethnicity, you see multiples of that. I'd say that's unacceptable in an economy as wealthy and as advanced as ours. And I would, and I do, make a connection between the absence of growth for incomes at families at the middle and the lower end of the scale, which stands in direct contrast to an economy that's expanding. We've had GDP growth, we've had high profitability. So clearly there's a wedge, some people call it inequality, between overall growth and the well-being or broadly shared gains of the rest.
Leaving aside the well-reasoned argument about inequality and social and economic justice for a moment, just to focus on the economics here, do those people under the poverty line constitute a break on growth in the economy? Do they have a structural impact on the economy as a whole?
Well, that's an interesting question because we tend to think of them as less kind of an input into some sort of growth equation and more as an unfortunate output. That is, because of slow growth or inadequate distribution of resources, those folks are left behind. But I actually think that you're onto something. Many of these folks, just by dint of their poverty, are simply not going to be able to develop their own, or for that matter, their children's economic or intellectual, educational, even probably spiritual potential. And that does serve as a drag on growth for the broader economy.
So with these numbers, 45.3 million people, are some anti-poverty programs a kind of stimulus for the economy in that certain well-targeted programs could help to reverse this drag on the economy that you've described?
I think so. One of the unusual characteristics, and it's not a good one, of these poverty numbers, at least the official ones that came out yesterday, is they actually leave out the value of some of those very programs, and the value is really twofold. First of all, there's just the basic adding to income of various programs that aren't factored into the rate. So, for example, the market value of nutritional support or food stamps, that's not counted. A very important wage subsidy program for low-wage workers, the earned income credit, is not counted. So that would help to flesh out kind of how the social policy is helping. But there's another point, which is somewhat more germane to your question, which is that it's recently been shown through a variety of longer-term research following people over time that many of these programs actually do help to counteract that disinvestment problem that I was mentioning earlier, the fact that by disinvesting in the poor and their kids, we're actually hurting the broader economy and the broader society in the long run. Some of those programs actually are successful in working against that.
What about policies that might help, make people below the poverty line benefit directly from a growing economy, even if we're having 4% growth, 3% growth? Is there a way to make the benefits target the people in poverty? We hear all the time that the people at the highest end of the scale are getting most of the benefit from economic growth.
Yes, I think that policy can help a lot. I've already mentioned some ways in which it is helping in terms of investing in families and kids and in their opportunity and their education. But more directly, I think the key is the labor market and jobs in regards to your question. Yesterday, we actually found that the poverty rate, to be clear, did come down 0.5%, and it was exclusively among kids. And it very much looks like the reason it fell 0.5%, it's not huge, but it's certainly a move in the right direction, is because their parents found more work. It seemed to be an increase in folks working full-time, full year. And I think that's a very important hint. What we need are policies that help connect people to the job market. And it can't just be a matter of go find a job or even here's more education, go find a job. We have to worry about the demand side of the market as well. Are there enough jobs? What are the quality of those jobs? So increasing the minimum wage, a more generous earned income credit. That's a wage subsidy I mentioned earlier for low wage workers. And even direct job creation when very disadvantaged folks can't find a job in the market economy. Those are the kinds of policies that are both anti-poverty and pro-work, which I think is kind of a policy sweet spot.
Concrete takeaways to deal with the 45.3 million people living below the poverty line from Jared Bernstein, senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy, former chief economist to Vice President Joseph Biden. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.